On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Gray New Deal, breaking down a new book called Work, Retire, Repeat. And we're going to talk about why this concept of the Gray New Deal is popping up, give you some takeaways from this book. Some of them include the inadequacy of advising older adults to simply work longer, the lack of retirement savings among a significant portion of Americans, and the necessity for systemic changes to ensure dignified retirement for all. Should be an interesting conversation. We're going to get Janine's thoughts and opinions on some of the key takeaways in this book and why some of these lessons might be important for you to understand and perhaps embrace or reject. We'll talk about it all coming up on today's episode, so stay tuned. Hey, Janine, great to be with you again. Hope you're doing well this week.
Good, doing great. You know, there's always these challenges as you get older. So,
yeah.
You young whippersnappers haven't faced them yet.
I mean, I feel bad for you guys because everything coming out these days is gray something, and that can't be fun to like be included in that all the time, right? We talked about the gray divorce on a previous episode. Now we've got the Gray New Deal. I mean, let's pick another adjective, right?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, we're talking about seniors and trying to retire with dignity. And this economist came out with this book, and Yahoo did an article about it, did an interview with the author, and kind of published some of these takeaways. We're going to link to that in the description of today's show if folks want to go check it out and read a little bit more about this book. But thought it'd be interesting if we just kind of broke this down on the episode today, Janine, and just give some high-level thoughts that you might have on some of the big takeaways here.
You know, there's a sense that for a lot of people that the 401ks haven't worked, the savings plans haven't worked, when you start looking at the numbers, the thing you have to keep in context is the demographics. Which demographic are we speaking about? Blue collar workers, especially those that, it's a lot of men, but, you know, that do physical jobs, you know, at some point your body kind of wears out. So working longer, and that's one of the premises of the article, is that maybe you should consider working longer. Well, that works pretty well for white collar. And now that we have a lot more remote jobs, it can work well for those who are a little bit more tech savvy or want to become more tech savvy. Blue collar workers and I'm not saying they're not tech savvy, but it's a complete career shift. So if you were going to work longer, you'd have to go learn some tech and to be able to, you know, get hired in that capacity. So what's happened, when you look at the average payout for Social Security, it's like $1,200 a month. That's poverty. So if you have not saved enough, you're living, you know, below the line, if you will, which I believe the poverty level now is about 35,000. Yeah. One of the other premises of the book is, should there be some social contract because Social Security is not working? Well, we used to have, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, we had 15 workers paying into the system for every person on retirement. Well, now it's basically 2-to-1. Now that may increase, but you have to have an economy that's growing to create jobs that people are going to work at to pay into the system. So, you know, we can go back and forth on the numbers on that and how that is or is not working, you know, so it is a challenge. I don't know that there should be a government answer to this, because Social Security, while consistent, you know, the government giveth, the government can taketh away. And that's what everyone's afraid of come 2030, 2035, is Social Security is going to be cut back because we're not funding it enough. That's a decision Congress makes. So you might get on the horn and talk to your congressman about how this is going to plan or work out, you know.
Who knows what our political system's going to look like in
exactly. So is it going to go bankrupt? No, because it's basically part of the general fund. Social Security is. There used to be a trust fund. They did away with that as part of the general fund. So could they cut back potentially? But that's a scary thought for a lot of seniors.
Yeah.
People don't understand risk when they're investing in their 401k. So sometimes they take more risk than they should have because they're shooting for that, you know, higher return. Well, you can get higher returns potentially, but you've got to understand what that risk is and what that means to you, and all of the troubles that people have had over these, and all the stats show this, Dalbar is an independent research agency that looks at what at investor behavior. And the average investor's return is about 3.5%. Well, you're barely above inflation at that rate.
You're just surviving, not thriving.
Exactly. But like we've talked in previous episodes in financial education, people aren't understanding these numbers in context. And so how much of your current lifestyle are you putting away for retirement savings? If you're closer to retirement now and you have under $500,000, you need to be in a proper portfolio to make it last as long as you might last. So what's the answer there? I'm not a fan of taking from taxpayers to give to people who haven't saved properly. I mean, that's just theft.
Yeah.
And the government's been doing that quite a bit for a number of years on various programs, not just, you know, Social Security, even though we pay into that. So there has to be another avenue. Financial education is part of that. And working with an advisor who's going to help you understand your numbers is part of that. But one of the suggestions is people work longer. I think that's becoming a reality for a lot of people. That's why you see people, you know, as well as staying engaged and having a purpose. Because I had somebody recently told me he wanted to retire at 58 so he could play. I'm like, and then what? You know, you're going to snowboard till you're 70? So possibly. But, you know, the numbers have to work out for people. And that's what they really do need to look at, all of the, you know, what's happening in your current financial life and then how you can make this work. These books are great and they point out some good things. But, you know, I think we have to really be careful because it's a slippery slope that, I mean, how do you help people that haven't had the advantage of understanding the numbers, understanding savings and haven't saved enough? There's no easy answer to any of that.
Yeah. It's interesting. So Teresa, and I'm going to butcher the last name here probably, but Ghilarducci, perhaps, something along those lines, is the labor economist who wrote this book and is interviewed in this article. And she really emphasizes that, hey, previous books and previous work that I've done has really been focused on how to save for retirement and prepare for retirement. She is taking much more of a policy look in this book. And you're absolutely right. Her number one takeaway, as identified in this article, is that working longer is not the solution and that we need to totally switch up what's happening to Social Security. And that she really emphasizes here that I'll kind of just quote from the article here, Janine. Social Security is purely a political problem. The country could afford to put more money into the system. We could have a 3 percentage point increase in payroll tax. It wouldn't mean job displacement or funding taken away from other groups. It's not an economic problem. It's a political problem that will be solved at the last minute, which will make it even more expensive. I think we could probably agree on that part, right? Rather than being proactive and doing something about it.
Anytime you leave it to the government, it's going to be more expensive. Things are never free.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds great. I mean, all these policies always sound great, and they're going to give it a name that's going to have the opposite effect of what they intend. That's just what happens. You can look, there's a history full of this for the last 50 years in what the government does. Yes, savings does work. Proper savings, proper investment policies or strategies do work. But, you know, putting an additional 3%, I mean, people don't even realize what, I mean, a lot of people don't realize what they contribute to Social Security now anyway. And they don't understand how that works and they don't understand the tax brackets, et cetera. So Social Security, if you're a 1099, which is you work for yourself or you get paid out as a contractor, you're paying both sides of that equation. That's a total of 15%. What's interesting is 6.2 on your side goes to Social Security and the employer pays 6.2 if you're a W-2. And then just a little bit is paid to Medicare. Medicare is a bigger problem than Social Security, which we are going to be finding out. So you're going to add another 3% to that for workers? Well, what Social Security has done is raised the base wage for a long time, years and years and years. The base wage, the high base wage that Social Security taxed your earnings from was about $40,000. Well, the last 5, 6, 7 years, they've been increasing that base wage, and I believe this year it's $160,000. So they are taxing people making more money So you're paying more into Social Security.
Let me read this to you, Janine, because I think you'll get a kick out of it based on your, you know, your military experience. I went and read the comments section on this article, and you're gonna love this one. So this is just from a random person in the comments section, but the story was a good one, I think. The comment says, just reading the first few comments, not much I can add here. All these government giveaways, student debt relief, COVID money, etc., including this, remind me when I was in advanced training in the Army. On our last week, we went on a 7-day FTX field training exercise at Fort Ord, 11 Bravo. I'm giving some details here in case it adds some credibility to this. We were given 7 days of food rations to carry with us, and it was heavy. On the first few days, some of the guys were eating 2 meals at a time and laughing at us as we were starving. 18-year-olds, we need a lot of food. Around the 5th day, these guys ran out of food. Our drill sergeant brought us all together, scolded the guys who ate all their food, but then said we all had to put what food we had remaining into the pile, and he would divide it out equally to all of us. Boy, was I mad. I saved my spaghetti, but it taught me a valuable lesson about how our government and life works.
Perfect. Oh, that is absolutely perfect.
I thought you'd like that.
I mean, that's like, if you want to teach your kids how to do this, then, you know, you're going to share your grade point with the person who's earning the lowest grade point in your class. Just give them a couple points, you know? I mean, that's what she's suggesting. If there's a social program for this, it's, again, the taxpayers are going to take a hit. And so, yeah, social programs from the government never work. They penalize those who've been successful and reward those who are not. And you know, there are always going to be inequalities in any system. The question is, how are we encouraging people at younger ages to be fiscally responsible for themselves?
There's a broader conversation here, obviously, about the policy. If we want to kind of end this by zeroing it into the individual investor, somebody who may be 5-10 years away from retirement or even closer on that time horizon, you got to start thinking taxes is what this really just rings true to me. Like this may be a train we can't really stop. And so get ready to maybe lessen your tax burden so that perhaps you can kind of jump off this train a little bit.
Oh, that would be an excellent talk, because it's the biggest expense anybody will ever have is taxes. So, and that takes away from you being able to save more of your money.
That's right. So get ready for it if that applies to you. Actually, that's a great way to mention that folks should reach out to you, Janine, if they have not really taken a deep look at their taxes and their tax obligation in their retirement plan. Boy, that should move the needle for a lot of people to take action and put together a solid financial plan. So if you haven't done that, reach out to Janine Theus, go through the complimentary financial review, go through the planning process, make sure that you're overturning all of those different stones when it comes to retirement planning, including the tax burden that you face, because issues like we've discussed today are just going to make that a bigger and bigger threat to our individual retirements. So pick up the phone, give Janine a call if you'd like, 443-718-6311, or you can book a time online at TheusWealthAdvisors.com. More information there for you on the website as well. We'll link to that in the description of today's show so you can find it easily. Janine, thanks for breaking down this article. Kind of interesting to talk about that larger kind of policy view rather than the individual basis for some of this, and appreciate your perspective on that.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. This was really great, because I think more people need to discuss these things before they get passed.
Yes, yes. We'll do our part and try and bring them up for sure here on the show. Well, don't forget that you've been listening to and watching Rockin' Retirement. You can subscribe to us on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. Don't forget to hit the like button as well to help us out and share the episode with others. You can also subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other audio platforms as well. We'll see you next time with Janine Theus. I'm Walter Storholt, right back here on Rockin' Retirement.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.